Welcome, everyone. My name is Reba, and today we follow a college RA into a dirty little field trip on the Mystery Box Show podcast. Today we bring to you a story from the early days of the Mystery Box Show. This story was one of the first in the very first theaters that we were in Portland, but it's such a good and timeless, shall we say, story from such a natural and fun storyteller. Just a little bit of a disclaimer, you'll hear the storyteller admitting to not using a condom when he, in fact, probably should have been using a condom. He says it in the story that he knows better and should have done better. And we just want to reiterate that we at the Mystery Box Show also advocate for safer sex and are not, certainly not encouraging anyone to not use protection during sex. So please keep that in mind. It's just a tiny part of the story, but the rest of it, you're going to be so captivated. I can't wait for you to hear this story from Kyle Ashby.
I don't know about you, but mostly in my life, I've enjoyed having sex in the privacy of my own room. This posed a conundrum in college when we lived in quads, and I really didn't want that roommate experience where people would walk into our dorm and be like, what's that smell? And my roommates would say, well, that's the smell of aerosolized boy love. And so I thought to myself, what could I do to prevent these awkward moments? And so I decided to become a resident advisor. For those who don't know, resident advisors watch over students with benevolent grace and all the stalwart leadership in the land. However, my primary concern was fucking in my room without anybody knowing. And so the way that worked is that I became a resident advisor, and to attest to this truth, my college best friend, Diego, is in the audience tonight. Let's give it up for Diego. Woo! And I think he vaguely recalls that during a team meeting, he was also a resident advisor, I went up to my housing director, who was a very mean gay man who was notorious for posting pictures of himself on Craigslist with Disney princess dolls sort of precariously placed in the photo. And so I was like, I could take a gamble here. And I decided to say, here's what I would like to do. I've been involved in the fetish scene for a couple of years, and I think it would be a really wonderful educational opportunity in this liberal arts campus that I went to in Jupiter, Florida, a lovely little ashtray of a town where such stand-up characters as Celine Dion and Tiger Woods and the eccentric Tori Amos sometimes live. And I went to him and I said, I would really love to take freshmen to this Halloween fetish party down in Fort Lauderdale. And he was like, I think that's a terrible idea. And I said, here's why I disagree, because I don't know what else to do. And so I convinced him that somehow this had to do with sex education and broadening horizons in a college environment. He went, I think this will fail. And I went, you're probably right, but I don't want to put in much effort because I'm too busy having sex in my room. And so I put in absolutely no effort. I didn't do anything. I was like, I'll put up a poster, and I didn't. I'll talk to people about it, and I didn't. And I think I vaguely mentioned it to a couple of friends, like, yeah, I'm doing a program. I'm taking people to the fetish party down in Fort Lauderdale. And then I got ready. It was Halloween night, and I was dressed as an English schoolboy, and I had a little newsy cap on and tight little underwear that said Howard's End on the back, because E.M. Forster jokes really kill at fetish parties, I found. And I thought, I will go with a couple of friends in my shaggin' wagon, a Hyundai Elantra 2000, and I will take whoever shows up, and we'll go down and have a good time and get back before sunup, because in Florida, you can stay out later than 2 a.m. Way to go, Florida. And so I went to a college with about 150, 200 kids, a very small school, and I expected two or three people to show up. And so we're in the, you know, there's two dorms on either side, and I was in the courtyard in my little English schoolboy outfit, like, yes, it's a normal day for me. So one person emerges, and they're sort of wearing like a belly shirt and some, you know, some juicy couture pants or whatever they've scrounged out of the back of their closet. And I was like, oh, this is going to be awkward and weird. And then a couple of people started coming, and it was a group of three, and one of them was chained up and wearing a dog costume, and the other was in sort of a full-on new suit. And new suits are those single-color body suits where you can't see the person's face, but they had a, you know, a leather mask on top, and I was like, I didn't expect that. And then more awkward, barely 18 bodies came out of the dorms, and all of a sudden, there were 30 freshmen in probably the most obscene fetish gear. I didn't even have it in my closet, and I've been involved for a couple of years. And there were just people crawling on all fours, and there was somebody with an e-stim machine on their penis. And I was like, you're 18, this is fantastic! And I was like, I think it's pretty clear I will no longer have a job after this evening. All right, so there's 30 people in the courtyard like, I can't wait to go to the fetish party. And I was like, it's going to be a wonderful time. And so we walked to my station wagon. And I was like, this is not going to work. And so I was like, hold on a moment. And our campus is pretty small. And so I went to the security office and I talked to our police officer on duty. I said, I need to borrow one of the university buses. And he's like, for what reason? I was like, I'm going to take 30 freshmen in fetish gear to a club in Fort Lauderdale where they'll probably have lots of anonymous sex. And he went, I don't really know what you're saying, but okay, just sign this. And so I got the bus, and by bus, I mean that our university was sponsored by old Jewish people, and so there was a bus for old Jewish women who wanted to come to the college and learn about whatever they felt like learning about. But it was sort of decked out and nice, and so, you know, I, with the lack of a bus license, so in our university we called them vans, I got them onto the bus, and first stop, the Olive Garden. And so I had planned on taking a couple of people to the Olive Garden because I had a friend who worked there. So instead, I took 30 freshmen to the Olive Garden and said, can we have unlimited soup and salad, please? And the waitress was like, I just want a tip at the end of this evening. I don't really know what's going to happen. But let me tell you that you should never deep throat the breadsticks because the garlic oil really burns. And I was really concerned that I didn't know really how to know to transition out of the restaurant. Like, do we all pay? Most people don't have wallets on them. There's not really room for wallets in what they're wearing. Maybe, oh, there was a wonderful man who was wearing nothing but a cod piece, and he did have all his money stuffed in it. And I really appreciate that, Jeremy. Thank you very much. And so I continue driving, listening to This Is the End, My Only Friend, The End. I'm pretty sure that at the end of this evening I won't have, you know, a private room to fuck in anymore. And so we get to Fort Lauderdale, and I know the bouncer because, again, I've been in the scene. And, you know, just imagine this sort of white, you know, very pristine bus pulling up into the shady factory, and all of a sudden these happy-go-lucky 18-year-olds, and it's just like the really awkward version of And so we enter the club, and he doesn't card anyone, because I figured he just wants to, let's take this evening beyond the pale. And so it's 18-year-olds with free access to booze, and let's describe the fetish party to you. It is a multi-level factory space where there's plenty of public sex going on, but it's a Halloween party for the normals. And so people who want to be a sexy nurse or like a really rugged car mechanic can go to the fetish party and have a good time and sort of mild kinky fun. And so, but there's still like Jen and the Jenner Torturers, who was the premier heavy metal band that specialized in water sports on stage. And so they were performing and there was a dance area. And so I was like, you all go have fun, you youngsters. I'm going to sit at the bar all night. And so I sat at the bar and vaguely kept an eye on them and realized that there wasn't really a point to doing that at all. So I just focused on the bartender. But, you know, I have needs. And so I got bored and started walking around, you know, hypothetically to go to the bathroom. And then in my little English schoolboy outfit, I catch the eye of Ron, who is dressed as a sexy butler. I'm not really sure what was going on. It was like tails, but it was like sexy tails. You know, there wasn't really any pants going on. And so we do that thing where you walk around in a circle, sort of eyeing each other, and then we get together and be like, hey, how's it going? You wanna dance? Sure. And so we go to the dance floor, and then we sort of migrate towards this metal cage. And so there's this metal cage that says, that's the perfect spot for me because I'm an exhibitionist. And at this point, I don't give a shit what I'm going to do at this fetish club. And so we get into the cage and we begin dancing and grinding on one another. It's sexy and fun. And I'm sort of vaguely keeping an eye on all the 18-year-olds like, yeah, water sports on stage. Woo! So we begin making out, and then all of a sudden I hear this clang, and all of a sudden the cage door has closed, and a sort of fairly obese man in a Superman costume has put a padlock on the cage. And I was like, that's awkward and weird. I would prefer you not do that. And he's like, absolutely not. Get ready for fun. And all of a sudden he clambers on top of the cage, and I'm hoisted 50 feet in the air in a cage with this random sexy butler. And I was like, now I have an excellent vantage point to look over all of my students. Thank you. And so we continue to dance, and I'm sort of enjoying the novelty and the story that will come out of this 5 years later at the Mystery Box show. And all of a sudden he's like, you got to do more if you want to get out. And I was like, I will certainly dance more. He's like, that's not what I meant. And he pulls out a video camera. And so I'm like, I would prefer you not do that. And so much as I said, fuck you, Superman, let me out of this cage. And he's like, absolutely not. What are you going to do about it? I don't know why he was a bro. He probably wasn't. He was probably just this guy in a Superman costume at a fetish factory. So he's like, I was like, fine. So I look at Ron, who, meanwhile, while we were dancing, like, by the way, I'm straight. And I went, of course you are. And so I turned to Ron, I was like, you want to do this? And he's like, sure. And so he takes off his sexy butler underwear, and I start to give him a blowjob, but it's really an angry blowjob. I'm sort of really pissed at this Superman who's making me blow somebody in a cage while I'm supposed to be the charge of 30 freshmen in fetish gear. And so I'm angrily blowing Ron and being like, this is an amazing story, but I hate all of this moment. And so we switch, and Ron begins blowing me, and in the infinite wisdom of straight men, uses a lot of teeth. So now I've had this really awkward, toothy blowjob, and I'm shaking my fist at Superman, and I vaguely consider sort of holding my hand across my face like this while the camera's on me, and then I realize that actually makes it a more interesting video to see a picture of a guy doing this while he's getting a blowjob. And so I'm just, you know, yeah, this is awesome. And so we blow each other, and I look at Superman, and he shakes his head. And so we sort of ponder our options. And as a sex educator, I was like, I had this guilty moment. And then I realized there's generally not a lot of condom availability in a cage 50 feet in the air. And so it was really natural for me to have bareback sex with this straight guy while a Superman with a camera watched us. And so I proceeded to gently fuck Ron while the cage swung back and forth, and I considered how much I would get in trouble as I returned to university. And this went on for a little bit, you know, just a while. And Superman was like, you've met the requirements, you may leave now. And so they bring us down on the ground level, and we get out and we're like, whatever. And so Ron's like, you want to continue? And at this point, I'm like, what else could we do? And so if you haven't done this yet, you should totally find a time to have really public sex on top of a really old pool table while lots of, you know, older people watch you just sort of rutting on top of this old felt. And so I'm having sex with Ron more. And at this point, I just don't give a shit. And I'm really going to town, but I'm not really, you know, getting close to climaxing, but it's really just sort of passionate and hot. You know, this is something I would enjoy doing in my off time, but I'm on the clock, and so I have a mission. So, I eventually finish inside of Ron. I am a sex educator, and I apologize for that. So I finish inside Ron, and then with all the gusto I can muster as this super macho gay dude with Howard Zinn on his ass, I look around, and there are all 30 of my freshmen. And I think I tried to grin, but it was just paralyzed fear, but also sweat, you know, the sweat mist coming off of me. And I just sort of like, well, how do you do? And I walk off stage. And by the stage, I mean a pool table. And I say, pleasure to meet you, Ron. And I go away. And I go back to the bar and pretend like nothing happened, because nothing did. And so eventually the club closes at like 3, 4 a.m. And I make sure all of them, although slightly drunk, are back in the old Jewish lady bus. And we begin to make our way back. And I'm saying nothing. You guys have a good time? Oh, yeah, we did. Okay, great. And I'm just like, I don't know what I'm going to say. Am I going to be proactive and go to my boss and talk to him about this or no? And then I don't say anything. I just sort of drive the bus home, and it's an hour and a half drive, and the sun is coming up and burning my eyes, and I'm sure that's part of the sex sweat as well. And I'm just like, you know what? I did this. Let's move on. If I'm not going to be an RA anymore, I can still have a good life. And I can still sort of put a towel under the door if I'm going to have that much vigorous sex with my roommates in the quad. And then, the next day comes around and I talk to my boss. He's like, it sounds like it was a really successful program. And I was like, you're right, Sean, it was. And I assumed that, the other shoe is going to drop. And it doesn't. It's a regular sort of check-in meeting. Good job on your program. I can't wait to put it on our annual report. And then I go to the cafeteria. And again, this is a very small school of about 150, 200 students. And I walk in sort of head held high. I did this. And I fully expect to have to debrief and sort of do a confessional. And it doesn't happen the first day. And it doesn't happen the second day. And then it just doesn't happen. And so all of a sudden, I realized that 30, 18-year-olds who took it upon themselves to have an amazing time at a fetish party understood the implications of my proclivity for private sex in my own room and made a blood oath, I can only imagine, to not mention what transpired. And so I'm eternally grateful to them. Thank you.
Wow, I can't even fathom my college experience being anything remotely similar to these folks in Florida. It would be interesting to talk to those kids today and to have their side of the story. Maybe we can gather some of them together at some point. You know, we usually ask the storytellers when they're going to be on the podcast if there's anything that they want us to promote, anything they've got coming up, websites and things like that. And, Kyle didn't have a website specifically or anything about him, but he did say this. The biggest thing I would like to plug is the ballot measure to create a completely independent police oversight system for the city of Portland. It will be on the November ballot and was voted onto the ballot unanimously by the city council. I would also like to ask listeners to keep centering Black lives and Black stories as activists, politicians, and protesters continue to use as many tactics to achieve real equity for Black people in the United States. We all do better when we all do better. Standing up for Black lives is one way to have hope about the upcoming November vote. Find a way to engage however you can. He says, for more information, I would love to send people to Don't Shoot PDX. And all of that information will be in the show notes. Of course, we wholeheartedly support that statement from Kyle Ashby and agree with him. Let us know your thoughts about this story. You can reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, or email. All of the links are at mysteryboxshow.com. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/mysteryboxshow, where you can have early episodes to our podcasts, confession corner videos, special gifts, and so much more. The music in this episode comes from our good friend Farnell Newton and the Othership Connection. Our audio engineer is Greg Keenan at Sound Minion Studios in Longmont, Colorado. Thanks to our production assistant, Nicole Perkins, my co-producer, Eric Scheuer. I'm your mistress of ceremonies, Reba Sparrow. On our next episode, we've got something hot cooking in the kitchen.
I draped his robe over my shoulder and went out to the kitchen where I heard some clattering. And he was sort of bent over this steel pot with a pair of salad tongs. So I said, "What are you cooking?" And he plunged the salad tongs into the pot and withdrew my silicone phallus. "Dick soup," he said.
Tune in next time on the Mystery Box Show podcast.